You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
An international study has shown that some animals have managed to adapt and evolve faster than previously thought. The New Zealand hihi bird, which was researched by Dr. Anne Santor as part of the wider study, is an anomaly among the animals that were researched. The Department of Conservation classifies the bird as threatened, with a low capacity to adapt, leaving the species susceptible to climate change and habitat loss. I spoke to Dr. Anne Santor about the study and the hihi bird. Firstly, I just want to ask, with this study, what was the international collaboration like in understanding adaptation rates over time?
So it was actually a really wonderful global study to be part of. So we contributed some very precious hihi or stitch bird data from here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. But the global study actually looked at animal populations from across the world. And it was led by a researcher called Timote Bonet, who's at Australia National University. And so he was able to get some New Zealand and Australian data sets, but also data sets in Europe and in Africa as well. So yeah, really wonderful spread of a truly global data set, particularly having some representation from the Southern Hemisphere.
What was it about the New Zealand hihi bird that stuck out to you when starting research?
So I've been very privileged to have been working with these wonderful hihi data sets for probably almost a decade now. So hihi in Aotearoa, New Zealand were actually lost to just a single island, Te Hauturu Toi, in the Kaiwaiki Gulf, that's Great Barrier Island, by the 1880s from kind of mammalian predators and land clearances in particular from European settlement. But following that, there was sort of 100 years, after 100 years, there was a reintroduction effort to try and establish new populations. And two of those populations that have been really successfully established are populations on Teritiri Matangi in the Hauraki Gulf, and also a population at Zealandia Wildlife Sanctuary in Wellington. And in these populations, every individual in those populations since they've been established has been monitored, and that means that we know for every individual when they're breeding, if they're surviving or not. So we have whole lifetime data for every individual in those populations. And that's a really, really special data set. It's quite a unique, or two very unique data sets for New Zealand, and actually data sets that globally are very, very rare. So the big global study concentrated on these type of animal populations that have been tracked for a very, very long time. And the really neat thing by tracking populations in that way and knowing every individual in those populations in that way is that we can actually assess what the differences in reproduction and in survival are due to. And for most evolutionary geneticists or biologists such as me, if you asked me, I would say, well, most of that variation is coming just because individuals have different environments, they have different access to resources. So that causes them to have lower survival or lower reproduction. But actually what Timote has been able to show across all of these many different animal populations is that contribution of genetic differences between individuals is actually having a really substantial effect as well. And it's actually those genetic differences between individuals that drive the ability of populations to adapt and to respond to selection pressures and challenges in their environment. So it's in some ways kind of optimistic because it means that these populations globally actually have fairly good capacity to be able to adapt and change in response to changing climate. So coming back to hihi, unfortunately that's not quite true for hihi. So hihi has actually got quite a low genetic contribution to differences in survival and reproduction. So that means that most of that is actually being driven by differences in the resources that individuals have available kind of in their local environment, in their local territory. So that's what's driving most of those differences for hihi. So hihi on the scale of things and in the scale of this global study are unfortunately down the lower end of the scale in terms of their ability to adapt.
Without significant human intervention, where would the species likely be looking?
So for hihi had actually a very stable and strong population still on Te Hauturu Toi, so that's actually without really any human intervention other than there's no mammalian predators on the island that put them at risk. Forest complexity that we see on Te Hauturu Toi is actually quite ample to support hihi on the island. And the other places where hihi are, including these long-term studied populations on Teritiri Matangi and in Karori, we do need some management support. And that's been part of the Department of Conservation Hihi Recovery Group has really researched actually and implemented lots of really fantastic management actions to help hihi, to support populations on those islands. For Teritiri Matangi and for Karori, for instance, we provide nest boxes because there aren't enough big old trees for them to nest in hollows in the trees. We also provide some supplementary feeding in the form of sugar water because the forest isn't flowering all year round to be able to provide nectar for them to drink. And we also provide some parasite control, some mite control at the nest, because the fledglings can get really overcome by these mites. And that's probably a result of introduction of mites from, you know, from European birds that have been introduced to Aotearoa. So, yeah, all of these things are really buffering hihi from that impact of the low adaptive capacity that they have. So really, really successful kind of conservation management, despite the fact that hihi are not very adaptable on the longer term.
And where does climate change and climate change adapt fit into this puzzle?
Yeah, that's a great question. So particularly for these global populations that have been studied, it really seems that at the moment they're holding on to their population sizes. So they're not decreasing in the number of individuals. And that really means that at the moment, right now, they do seem to be buffering the impact of our changing climate and things like habitat loss. And that's because they have this genetic capacity to do that, right? So they've got this genetic capacity to be able to adapt that was higher than we thought, but it's actually just letting them hold still, if you like. They're kind of like chasing to keep up with climate change. So the big concern, of course, all of us have is that climate change impacts will be accelerating. And can they actually still keep up with that accelerating rate of change in the future? And I think, unfortunately, the study can't really tell us that, because we don't have, for some of those species, we've got fairly good models of how climate will change at a local scale, and so we could perhaps make some of those predictions. But at a global scale across all animal populations, of course, we're not sure the speed of change of everything. Yeah, I would say it's still, even with this ability to adapt and to change over time, it's still on us to try and look after this wonderful biodiversity that we have.
And on that point, finally, I want to ask about our ability to help animals adapt in the wild. What lessons have been learned from this study that can help ensure the survival of the hihi bird?
That's a good question, actually. I think maybe not so much the study for hihi specifically, because there's been this wonderful work done in the past for hihi, as I said, that's really been focused around management implications. And so there's been experimental work, actually, that shows that taking away supplementary feeding actually results in a lower population size. So there's been really careful kind of management decisions made to kind of optimise things for hihi, and certainly the populations that we have are doing super well as a result of that. Whether, I guess, in the longer term that's going to be sufficient, I'm not sure, so I guess we aren't quite sure. The places where hihi are right now, if they change very dramatically in the future, then maybe even those management actions won't be enough to buffer the species. And so, as with many other recovery programs for Aotearoa New Zealand birds, we're really interested in trying to think about new sites, establishing new predator-free sites. Of course, predator-free 2050 is a really wonderful aim to try and reduce that predator burden in the landscape so that hihi can be introduced to new sites that in the longer term might be more suitable for them. So, yeah, really active assessment of where could those new sites be, what would be suitable for habitat for hihi in, say, 50 or 100 or 200 years.
That was Dr. Anne Santor from the University of Auckland discussing her research into evolutionary adaptation and the anomaly of the hihi bird.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.